As a church, we've been studying about faith, especially trying to answer the question, how do we learn to live by faith? And if you remember last week or last Sunday we were together, we talked about trusting God and His promises. And I realized that our church now is under some trials and tribulations. The coronavirus has seemed to wipe out almost every family in our church, and it appears it may be another week or so before things can get back to normal. And so what I wanted to do is just a bit of encouragement to each of you is send you out just a little daily message following up with what we talked about the last Sunday we were together dealing with living by faith. And today we're going to be talking about how our faith has to be tested in order to grow. And our text is going to be found in 1 Peter chapter 1. So let's look at 1 Peter together, shall we? On Sunday, we talked about some of the how questions in the Christian life, those questions that somehow seem difficult to do. We know we're supposed to do them, we know it's commanded of us, and we know it's things we should do, but for some reason, we've never been taught or figured out how to actually do them. We talked about how to live by faith from Galatians 2:20. Or how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18 talks about that. How to walk by the Spirit and therefore not walk according to the flesh, from Galatians 5:16. How to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, 2 Corinthians 10:5. How to lay our life down as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable and pleasing unto the Lord, which is our reasonable service, from Romans 12:1 and 2, one of my favorite. How to have victory over sin, 1 John 5:4. How to pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. How to rejoice always in every situation, no matter what, Philippians 4:4. How to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, from the Sermon on the Mount, from Matthew 6:33. How to experience the peace of God, which passes all understanding, from Philippians 4:7. How to hear the voice of God, 2 Peter 1:18, and how to live in such a way that God's Word becomes alive to us, from Hebrews 4:12. These are the how questions. These are the questions that we struggle with on what we need to do and how to go about doing it. And often we're told what to do and then placed under the guilt of not knowing actually how to do that. On Sunday, we talked about just one of these, which is how to live by faith. And we talked about just one element of living by faith that helps us grow in our faith, and that is simply believing God's promises. And the promise we were to focus on comes from Hebrews 13:5-6, where He says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So therefore we can boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" But there are more ways to learn how to live by faith. And one of the things that is difficult often for us who strive to live by faith is understanding that our faith must be tested. Faith only becomes strong and real and vibrant when it is tested. Until it is tested, it's just a pipe dream. It's just something that we do, something that we accept, something that we say. But once it is tested, it becomes alive to us and something we can rely on and grow as the Lord brings even more circumstances into our life in order to test our faith. Our faith must be tested. Passage we're going to look at today is in 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to begin by reading in verse number 3. So follow along with me as we look at this together. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to His abundant mercy, has begotten us, not just once, but begotten us again to a living hope." How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. "To an inheritance," and then He describes this inheritance, "as incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, which is reserved in heaven for you and I. Verse 5 describes that inheritance and how it is reserved for us, who are kept by the dunamis explosive miracle-working power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's one sentence, verses 3 through 5, one sentence. Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to tell us about why he is so blessed and how blessed we are by what God has already given us. We have this living hope that's been granted to us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ because of God's abundant mercy. We have an inheritance that's given to us as a son and an heir, according to Romans chapter 8, that is incorruptible and undefiled, and no matter what we do, it will never fade away. And God has reserved this for us in heaven. And we are kept by the dunamis, explosive, miracle-working power of God through faith for salvation, that all this will be revealed to us in the last time. Verse 6, in this, what we just talked about, that last sentence, in this blessing, you greatly rejoice, he says. I've written in my Bible, right above that phrase, do I really? With a question mark. Do I really greatly rejoice in the spiritual blessings that God has given me based on my faith and his sovereign goodness? Or do I greatly rejoice when things go well for me on this earth and in this life, where it's about money or relationships or our health or just the things that make my trek here on this earth as a pilgrim and a sojourner, something full of ease? Do I greatly rejoice in what God has already done, especially when I go through dark times? Again, verse number 6. In this, what we just read, you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, if need be. If there's a special purpose behind this, if necessary, if God so chooses, you have been grieved by various trials. The word grieve there means to be sorrowful, to have pain, to sadness, to suffer through various trials, various tough times, various misunderstandings, various broken relationships, various lies and slander, various hurts, various bankruptcies and losses of jobs and coronaviruses and illnesses and all the things that we struggle with today. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, according to God's sovereignty, you have been grieved by various trials. Why? Why would I greatly rejoice in that, even in the middle of my trials, even in the middle of my suffering, even in the middle of the tough times that I'm going through? Why would I do that? Verse number 7, listen very carefully. That the genuineness, the proof, the approval, the trustworthiness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, at his second coming. That the genuineness, the proof, the validity, the steadfastness, the trustworthiness of my faith in him, in his word, in his promises, in his goodness, that I will never leave you or forsake you, no matter what trial it is. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me, irrespective of what happens? The genuineness of your faith, 1 Peter 1:7, being much more precious than gold that perishes, Have you ever thought about your faith being much more precious than gold? Because gold perishes. We can't take gold with us. Gold is not something that we accumulate and send on to heaven. God is not pleased and honored by our accumulation of gold. But He is by our faith. That the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to, note this, praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, whom having not seen, you love. I love. The word there is agape. The genuineness of my faith, my love for Christ, far greater than gold and anything of value this world has, is found to the praise and honor and glory of Jesus Christ when He comes, when He is revealed, obviously at the second coming, who, even though I have not seen Him, I haven't had that experience. I haven't looked at Him face to face. It's still, as it talks about in Hebrews, in a mirror dimly. Yet I love Him. I agape Him. But I thought seeing was believing. No, we believe in order to see. The rest of verse 8, though now you do not see Him, yet believing, same word here for faith, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I have faith in verse number 7, that the genuineness of your faith. I have the same word translated, yet believing, in verse number 8. And then in verse number 9, I have the same word, faith, again. The genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold. Though now you do not see Him, yet having faith, yet believing, I rejoice with joy, inexpressible and full of glory. Why? Receiving the end of my faith, the goal of my faith, which is the salvation of my soul. Faith must be tested. Once it is tested during trials and tribulations, what is tested is the sovereignty and the glory of God. In the Old Testament, time and time again, we see that happening, where the children of Israel would cross over the Jordan River, where God would separate as they would walk apart on dry land. And it happened at the Battle of Jericho and other places where all of a sudden when that was done and their faith manifested itself in such a profound way, God would tell them to take 12 stones representing one for each tribe of Israel and make this mountain, this monument, so that when your children's children's children, after you're gone, all the firsthand experience of this miracle is gone. The people who saw it happen, they're gone. And everybody else has to believe it on faith. When your children's children's children ask, what is this monument mean? Remind them how I dried up the Jordan. Remind them how I carried you out of Egypt on eagle's wings. Remind them how faithful I was to you in the past. And I'll be faithful to you today, and I'll be faithful to you tomorrow. Why? Because faith grows by trusting God's promises and having that faith tested by trusting those promises. Remember from last week, Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord says that's a promise. And because of that, we can now boldly say, in the face of whatever trial and turmoil and persecution comes our way, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I hope this has been a blessing to you today. We will talk some more tomorrow about this praise and honor and glory at the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, what our faith does for him, and we'll be looking at the book of Revelation as we do. So have a great evening, and I will talk to you tomorrow.